Well, tonight we'll be in Psalm chapter 46 for our reading. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. And then we're going to talk about our challenge for you tonight that I have for you is stop and go. Stop and go. So let's pray before we get started. Oh Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to come before you and worship and pray together, Lord. We miss our pastor and his family, as already we don't have the music and we don't have the pianist and those ministering, Lord. And Lord, we know you're here. We know that you're in this work and you're with his family as well as they're away getting some good time, some together and relaxing time, Lord. Be with this time as we look at your scripture today, look at your word, looking at a few things in the scripture that came to my mind as you draw me to certain sections, Lord. I pray that I be clear and not say anything that's incorrect. In your name, amen. All right, so still struggling a little bit with my voice, clearing my voice a little bit. So I'm still getting over a cold, so I'll do my best. So stop and go. Stop and go. And you would think of those two things as opposites. But in the Word of God, you see those two things illustrated in a few different ways. Turn to Psalm chapter 46 in verse 10, and I'll read this verse here to get us started. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Today, this world is full of noise, distractions. You have politics, you have salesmen, you have sales pitches, you have religious leaders' speeches, iPads, iPhones, whatever it may be, there's plenty of distractions out there. When you have a conversation with someone, it seems to be a little different than what I remember when I growing up and I look at the younger kids. When I was growing up, we didn't have phones, right? And I could say, now it seems like I'm an old guy up here talking. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have iPads. We didn't have all this stuff. What did you do, Jason? We just talked and we just played with cars and we just listened to one another. Oh, that sounds boring, you know? And you think about it, how much things have advanced over the last few decades. It's been tremendous. Now, one person could be sitting in a room, say over here, be surrounded with a bunch of individuals. That person may never communicate with the people around them, but yet they're contacting and communicating with people around the world on their phones. And what's that do? Oh, what a great tool. What a great way of communicating and providing communication. Any good tool can also be a distraction. And I just want to bring that up tonight and look at God's Word and just put a few things into your mind about, you know, a perspective, a different way of looking at things, and a reminder and a challenge for you. So, all these things want our attention. You may have sat down 20 years ago, or before you even had a phone, or an iPod, or whatever it may be. I'm not even saying electronic device. And you sat down on a park bench. What did you used to look at? Did you admire the trees that God created? Did you smell the fresh air that was in the world that day? Did you look at the Goodyear blimp flying by? Did you look at that bird that God has provided for fly by and think, wow? Or did you not see any of those things? Did you not see any of those things because we were distracted in some way? The distractions could be our own minds. And that's always been there from the very beginning of Adam and Eve. They were distracted by their own wants or their selfishness. Eve saw the fruit and she took it. And Adam took the fruit and he ate it too, because it was good to the eyes and it looked like it was what they wanted. But in today's society, I would say it's even more accelerated. We have social media and all these things at our fingertips at any time, at any point in the day. We can look at these things and allow them to interrupt our prayer. Allow them to interrupt our conversation with a friend. Allow them to interrupt a point in which we are able to witness to one of our family members or our loved ones, or even to ourselves. As I wrote some of the things in my notes for tonight, as we're in Psalm 46, verse 10, I was interrupted multiple times by the phone dinging, with a text message, whereby maybe a son or daughter needing or wanting something. We want information immediately. Sometimes we want to go immediately and Google something. Whereas before, you had to wait and ask someone else, ask an elder, have communication. Go to the old thing on the shelf that used to be called an encyclopedia. We have some beautiful encyclopedias over here in the library. And I look at them, I'm like, who uses one of those? I've got Wikipedia. Teachers know that Wikipedia is not always a reliable source. It's just hearsay, necessarily. It's not reference or, peer-reviewed. But still, we're used to going to get information now rather quickly. Even the tools with our Bible search programs are awesome. I typed in still for this to find be still and know, and I came up with like over 300 and something or something like that places in the Bible where I could find that word. How long would it have taken me to search and read every word myself and find those and record those? Quite a long time. I had it within 5 seconds. So Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Tweeter, whatever you call them. There's lots out there, right? Snapchat, chat, and Flapchat, and whatever, I don't know. Facebook. I do admit, I have never used Facebook. I'm proud of that, but, that also dates me. But, yeah, she does. So if I have something that needs to be sent out to family members, she's the one that does it. So our time is limited, but what are we doing with it? Are we maximizing our opportunities for witnessing? Are we being still and knowing God? We see in the scripture, and we think of just one comes to mind, is when Elijah ran from Jezebel, and he ran for a while, and then eventually God came to him, and there was a great wind, there was an earthquake, we had all this rumbling and jumbling, and then at the end, there was a still, small voice. Maybe sometimes we don't hear that still, small voice. How can we? With so much input coming in, it's amazing that we can even carry on a conversation or a thought to ourselves. Martina tested me with this number, memorizing numbers, and she'll say a series of numbers of six numbers, and she'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or nothing, just random, and then I would have to say them back, and we got to four numbers or five numbers and I couldn't repeat them back, and that was a 4 or 5 year old level. I was like, okay, give me those cards. Interesting enough, I heard the same thing on public radio today. And the record was one man was able to repeat back 125 numbers in a random sequence. Why? Because they were able to focus. They were able to practice over and over again. So that also applies to our spiritual life. How often do we work on our salvation? And you know what I mean by that. Not getting yourself to heaven, but working on your spiritual growth. A beautiful apple tree doesn't start immediately as a beautiful apple tree with awesome fruit. The seed needs to be planted. The root needs to grow. And the root needs nutrients. It needs water. It needs nutrients that are minerals that are in the soil, and eventually that first leaf pops out of the ground and it needs light and oxygen. And before long you have a small tree, and before long you have a beautiful fruit producing tree. Maybe the fruit doesn't always taste good right at first, but eventually the fruit is good to eat and you like it. It's beautiful. How is that in comparison to our own spiritual lives? We start off as babes in Christ, feeding on the milk of the Word, and eventually, as we grow up and develop, we're supposed to feed on the meat of the Word. I would say to myself, being honest, there's many concepts that I feel like I'm still taking of the milk. Why? Because I haven't devoted the time. I haven't devoted it to memory. I haven't studied it in depth. So, how are you maximizing your time? How do you focus on things? Are we listening to too many things at one time? How does God want us to respond to this noisy world around us? Psalm 46:10, be still. And there's a point in there where it says be still, which rings true to me, because when I'm busy, when I'm doing things, I'm walking around and I'm trying to do this, and Martina's talking to me and she knows that I'm listening, but I might be hearing, but I'm not necessarily listening. So she's like, hey, come here. And then eye contact, then I could start paying attention. Then I can actually start listening, right? Sometimes we need to be still and focus on the Word. We need to be still and meditate on the Word and be still to listen to God. Be still and know that I am God. God wants us to stop and listen to His instruction. Boy, there are plenty of scripture verses in here that I read. I'm like, did I read that before? That sounds completely new. And it's like in a section like Psalm 22 or Psalm 23 that Robert went over for many of weeks in the opening of Bible school. And he said a phrase. I'm like, I never like realized that was there, because I only focused on one other verse and I forgot the other. So he wants us to stop and listen and ask instruction. Where is that instruction found? In the Word of God, specifically. Let's look at something else. Let's look at Psalm 85. Let's turn to Psalm 85. And we see another mention here in verses 7 and 8. Specifically, pay attention to verse 8 when I read it. So I'll start in verse 7 of Psalm 85. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Are we saying that? Are we saying, I will hear what God the Lord will speak? So, listening and hearing, I think we could pretty much define what those things are. Understanding, interpreting, thinking about it. Yes, I heard a noise, but did I realize what the noise really was? It was a Bachman Sparrow song in March, and it was nesting in a tree cavity over there. Now, those are two different things, but I just heard a noise, and then the Bachman Sparrow has a certain call, and then at a certain time of year it sounds different. And then we know that it has a breeding call. And then because of the direction where I heard it from, which ear, and then I could tell you what tree it was probably in. That's because I was paying attention. But how many times we walk by something and we're not paying attention? How many times that God's ministering to us and we just walk right by it? Or He was trying to tell us something and we walked right by it? Because specifically, we were like this. Now, this is a tool, and it's a very effective tool. But we have to be careful with any tool that we have. A hammer could be very, very useful. It could be very, very damaging. I have an old car. Probably 80% of the things I fix on the car is with a hammer. Beat it a few times, it works. But if I beat it too hard, or if I use it in the wrong way, it could cause damage. So anything could be looked at in that way. So by focusing on Him and turning off our distractions, take time praying and reading the Word. We probably spend, I bet you everyone would admit to some degree, that you don't spend enough time in the Word of God. How many hours of the day do you sleep? Mine's 9.5. I sleep about 9.5 hours every. I try to get 9.5. 9, 8. I'm pretty cranky. Beyond that, I can't walk. So, just the amount of time you spend, 8 minutes reading the Word, let alone 8 hours. I don't do that every day. I have an app that pops up on my phone, and it sounds like a text message, and it goes ding ding, and I go like this. I'm like, oh, it's just the scripture verse for the day, just the scripture verse for the day, and I read it, and I'm like, and I think about that for the remainder of the day. A tool being used for a good reason, but very little out of time am I spent studying and reading. I usually have certain times during the day where I focus on it. Do you have a time during the day where you focus? Some people call it a focus day at work, where they focus on one thing. Maybe it's filing. Maybe it's winning new clients. Maybe it's getting new recruits for school. Maybe it's cleaning the house. So we have focus days. Do we have a focus day or hour or a morning or a portion of the day where we focus on God's Word, trying to see what He wants us to do, being still? So in order for us to be obedient, in order for us to be able to follow God's Word, we need to be able to be listening. First, we need to stop, be still, and listen. As I talk, just in this room, I'm talking over a number of noises, and I'm very attentive to different noises. I could probably hear a pin drop in the back of the room over a lot of things that are going on, because I'm just attracted to noises. But if we sat here very quietly, you would hear noises, and you might never hear those noises before. The hum of this AC unit is different than this one, and the buzzing of that light is different than that light. There's a lot of things that we walk right past, and we don't necessarily notice them until we listen. Think of it this way. Would an army go into battle without instruction from the general? No. The army waits, and it's waiting for its orders. And then once the orders are received, the plan is laid out. And now the army can form their ranks, get in place, and march to the battle. If there's no instruction and there's no plan of action, those army soldiers are walking into potentially destruction. They're walking into a place where they have no idea what to expect. But the general has gone before and sent spies, have sent reconnaissance out to figure out what's ahead. And the general has assembled that information, saw what's going on with the enemy, and formulated a plan, potentially with his assistants. Let's just say the general specifically here, and then gives it to his army, and it goes down the ranks, and they form a battle plan. How is it that same illustration can be applied to God being the general? He knows what's ahead, right? He knows what's around the corner tomorrow, or tonight, or the next day. He knows all. Why wouldn't we listen to the general? Why wouldn't we listen to God speaking to us? Because sometimes we're not listening. We're sometimes distracted. Before we march off into the battle, before we make a big decision, whether it be going off to college or deciding what you're going to do today, or maybe even teaching, preaching, witnessing, etc., the orders are never read, they're not followed, how can the battle be won? It will be disorderly. It will be dysfunctional. So that's the first section of stop. Stop and listen. Stop. And the next section that we'll look at for the next 15 minutes is go. Stop and go. Opposites, yes, but timely when selected in the right order and at the right time. So today we're going to look at a couple scripture verses for going. And I'm thinking of when I say go, let's just put go and preach or go and do God's work also within that with the go. Once we listen, we hear the commandment of the Lord. Once we have the battle plan from the general, we must go forward. And then we can carry out the plan. Let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'll stop there. Many other great scripture before and after it. But the word is a lamp. And if you think of the word as what we've already discussed, by stopping and listening, we've already said that the word has instruction for us. It has information that we need to know. Stopping and listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us. But now we have that information. What do we do now? The word, or thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet. When you think of a lamp, what do you think of? What's it do? What's a lamp do? Is it just because it's heavy or what? It shines light. And that light allows you to do what? See. Very good. So if I turned off all the lights in here and it was dark and it was pitch dark, like complete darkness, like in a cave type darkness, the smallest little light, you would be able to see it and then maybe be able to see where you're walking. And so when you're in a dark room and you have this light now, you can see the path before you. If the light was never on, if you never knew where the light was, you wouldn't know exactly where to go. It's a lamp unto my feet. And the feet are what we use to do what? I heard something. Go. And it allows us to move, go in the direction of that path. The word is a lamp. God's direction is that way. God's word is allowing us to see the pathway. It's allowing us to see where we need to go. What if we have the lamp and we see the way, but we don't go that way, and we choose to go the opposite way and walk into a wall? Well, that's just stupid. You know, who would want to do that? But I would say that some of our decisions, some of people's decisions, just think of the lost. They're basically doing that, or completely not having any light, and they're walking around in darkness, running around and hitting walls, and they don't have any direction. God's word is a lamp. He's the one that allows us to see the path which is before us. We could see that center aisle. We know the way out. We know the way to go. So are we that busy that we can't stop and listen to the concern of others? Is that too inconvenient for us? So we got this light, and we got the path before us. Now we're going to go. What are we going to do when we go? We're going to go and tell others. We're going to go and allow others to see our testimony. And that enters the whole other realm of going and preaching and going and doing. It's one thing to go. There's another thing to go and be also listening to others that come up to us and others that need our help and talk to them as well as we go. Let's look at what Jesus did in John chapter 4 at the woman at the well. Very common story. I think it applies somewhat to the illustration today. So let's go ahead and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 4. And we'll pull out tidbits in our next 10 minutes that are left. And as we look at it, just think about a few things. Think about if Jesus never went to Samaria. Okay? So, in chapter 4, Jesus stops and goes out of his way to go to Samaria and stops to talk to a woman there. And we see in verses 4 through 6 the story start to unfold. So I'll start reading in verses 4 through 6 of chapter 4. And he must needs go through Samaria, and that was Jesus, that cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat there on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. He went out of his way. He went because he knew what was needed to be done. He knew what needed to be said. Sometimes the truth hurts, but sometimes we need to say it. We need to say it because God's word says we need to say it. For example, we'll be with her, with the woman at Samaria, the woman at the well. We'll see that she had a sin. So he sits there and waits. No one's there yet at the well. He's there and he's waiting. He knows that the woman's coming. She's on her way. In verses 7 through 15, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Okay, so the interaction starts. Now, could it be that we're sitting there at the well and we were distracted? We're looking up something on our Google account, and we saw this woman. The woman came by, she got her water, and she left. What if Jesus had a smartphone? What he noticed? Of course. But the illustration is that a great opportunity may have been missed in just a split second. How many of these opportunities do we miss? I think of it myself when I interact with park managers and park biologists and people that I come across. Sometimes we're often very focused on work, and we're very discouraged about talking about any personal things at work. I may have a lesbian that I work with, we're talking about transgender bathrooms now. We're talking about all kinds of stuff like that in our parks. Can I give my opinion? Not necessarily, but I can steer away from it. But just think of the opportunities that you may have to talk to somebody that you haven't had the chance, or you don't take the opportunity to do it. Just think of this woman in Samaria. She walks away. Jesus doesn't say anything. It would have been a complete different story, wouldn't it have been? So later on in verses 15 through 18, Jesus gets to the root of her problem. You see here the woman saith in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. He's talking about the living water. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And so immediately she's like intrigued. How do you know this? And we get into, she finds out basically and sees who he is. He's the Messiah. And she's overjoyed. She runs away. And we see in verse 25, I believe. Let's see. Let's just go to 39 as we sum this up. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, the one woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. That opportunity he took to stop, listen to what she had to say, just as we have been taught in Scripture to stop and listen to God's word. We stop and listen to the need of a friend or a loved one. What great things came about of it through God's work, through us, what we can get accomplished through him. that split second of him starting the dialogue with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, she went out, she told others. Next thing you know, many of the Samaritans of the city believed. What a great testimony. We know that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And it says that in verses 34 through 36. Jesus says, let's just read it. It's better to... Verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and there cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and he goes on to explain the story of eternal life. They are ready now. Are we going once we've stopped? And then do we go? So are we so busy with our own affairs that we cannot stop and listen to God's command and to listen to others? People need our help. But in order for us to be able to help them, we must first take the time to stop and listen to God and seek direction from Him. And that's where we'll end tonight. And so remember, stop and go. Let's go ahead and go to our prayer request for tonight. Anyone have any requests?